This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Greg Wappel. He's the Vice President of Business Development for a company called Adept USA. Kind of a funny spelling. It's ADEPTUSASI.com is the website. And today we're going to talk about healthcare IT, talk a little about the VA, and what the role does healthcare IT have in reducing cost for members, and what can healthcare IT do to maybe speed up certain processes that impact many different federal agencies. But before we begin, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to tell a little bit about Greg's background and find out what his history is, what his experience is with the federal government, maybe his experience with healthcare IT, and talk about this group called HIMSS. Greg, tell us a little about your background, please.
Worked in the federal government for many, many years over the last decade, working on a variety of projects on all levels, both small, large, in a variety of agencies, and coming into healthcare, also being a Marine coming out of the Marine Corps and looking at healthcare and healthcare claims, there is a large area for change needed, more transparency and more efficiency in the claims process, but also delivering better services to our veterans as well as our senior elderly as they're getting more and more into their elder years and moving forward, but also all Americans as a whole need better healthcare.
Yeah, my son's got three friends who are overseas, so I think I can understand with some of these concepts here. Most people who have read a newspaper, maybe read any blogs or Google News, they've seen the headlines, and we all know the headlines. You know, for example, last month there was a report that came out from the Institute of Medicine, and it says that 30 cents of every healthcare dollar is wasted. Whew, that's a lot of money, especially with the dollars we're talking about here. So, Greg, I guess IT can have a role in trying to reduce this cost, and one way to reduce the cost is maybe to accelerate payments. Give us your idea of some techniques that can be used to maybe to speed up, or how health IT can be applied to reducing these costs.
Well, there's so many redundant paperwork processes that are out there. If we can just streamline the processes to make them more efficient, you look at that 30%, that's a huge amount of dollars. And there's a lot of cost savings or a lot of cost avoidance we can interject in by using different processes or tools that are currently in place. It's not reinventing, but it's just using current processes that are in place. But there's also the whole method, too, of just remembering the human process, because it's not all just about making a blinking box with blinking lights be the magical answer, but definitely health IT, getting the right experts in the right time, in the right place, and bringing the right solutions to play can make a huge difference and drive that 30% to a bigger delta.
And I think that's one of the reasons why we have you on the air here. Greg has organized an interesting event coming up on October 11th of 2012. That's 10-11-12. And Greg's works with a group called HIMSS, HIMSS.org, HIMSS-NCA.org for the local chapter. Tell us about HIMSS and your relationship with HIMSS and this event coming up, please, Greg.
HIMSS is a great organization. It brings together both industry as well as government, and is a great way to collaborate, to bring solutions together, roll up our sleeves, take our name badges off, or our ID cards, put them away, and say, how can we bring better solutions? We're all part of the same country. We all have a common goal. But how do we get there? And take off the filters and the various colored glasses that we wear and walk in and work together as a team and drive to better cost-saving solutions.
And I think what's interesting about the local HIMSS group is if you go on LinkedIn, you find out there's 800 members of the local chapter. And once a month, they have a room over in Roslyn, and they get real human beings up in front of a room, and they get maybe 200 people in the audience, and they talk about, well, here's a problem we have in healthcare IT, transparency. Here's a problem we have in healthcare IT, doctors sharing information. Here's another problem we have in healthcare IT, how to handle a backlog. And I think this is one of the concepts you're going to deal with in October. Is that right, Greg?
Yes, it is.
So we're going to get a couple folks from the VA over, and they're going to talk about some of these challenges and handling this. What kind of backlog is it anyway?
Well, in the VA, there's currently close to 850,000 plus claims that are in a backlog. And
that's 850,000.
Plus, plus,
850,
plus.
850, wow. Yes. So let's say a veteran had a surgical procedure, and there's a claim involved there. And so there are 850,000 of these claims that are sitting in a stack waiting to get processed somewhere.
Yes, and it's a growing backlog as well, because with more and more men and women coming back from various operations, there are more and more claims being filed. The average claim has 8 contentions on it.
So this is a tough mess to wade through.
Yes, and in most of the claims, they're going to wait 12 to 18 months to have a final decision or a start of benefits as well.
The HIMSS group, HIMSS, the first part of it is healthcare informatics. So we have a problem, 800,000 claims that are sitting there in someone's desk, theoretically. So HIMSS deals in healthcare informatics. So Greg, from your perspective, what can they do to resolve that problem? What's the way to attack it?
Well, the VA is currently heading towards more and more with their programs, such as VBMS, which is Veterans Benefits Management System, as well as Ingest, which is taking the historical paper files into a digital state. But in saying that, it's still a matter of getting through that, rating those claims, and working through the issues that are in there. And as more and more of the contentions, which is an issue or an illness or a symptom, as they're working through the various contentions, they're getting more and more complicated. And my biggest thought on it, being a service-disabled veteran, is even keeping the human factor in there, because it makes a big difference having a human being working with the claims as well as the automation.
So it's a combination of moving from paper to electronic format, and then when I think of interoperability, I think of, you know, standards and HL7 and all these complex standards, but maybe the interoperability is the humans interoperating with the data. Well, maybe that's the focus of HIMSS is, well, these computers and TCP/IP and tags and codes are fine, but what about the human beings? And that's one good aspect, I think, of the meeting coming up in October, is that they're going to be human beings up in the front of the room explaining the problems they have. And if you're listening to this interview going, well, geez, I have a problem with healthcare and processing, maybe I can learn from them and see what the best practice is. Maybe there's no best practice. Maybe I should just jump out a window. Let's hope they
exactly
don't.
But no, it's driving to that best practice, and it's finding the way we can drive better solutions in our healthcare needs. Because through the claims process, eliminating fraud, waste, and abuse, and the large numbers that are there, you look across the board, the numbers are staggering on the amount of dollars that are put through that arena.
What do you think about the AON report? Do you think this is an exaggeration? 30 cents of every healthcare dollar is wasted? That seems shocking to me.
It's huge. Think about how much more patient care could be provided for that 30 cents. Even if it's half of that, 15% is still huge.
You know, I was driving in here listening to the radio and all kinds of election news and Republicans this and Democrats that. And you know, I'm certainly not going to take any stand on the air here, but let me tell you something, you know, Republicans, Democrats, we can all do the math. It's just basic math. I mean, if we're spending more on healthcare than we're taking in, well, there's got to be some kind of change somewhere. And I think this is one tool that we can use to reduce the cost of healthcare IT is working on transparency, finding out what best practices are for handling some of these claims. And that's true with HIMSS too, isn't it? They don't care if Republican or Democrat. And I'm sure the guests don't care either. They say, look, I'm a doctor. I want to get through this and help my patients.
And how do we? And it's from the aircraft or the helicopter in the theater of operations back to anywhere in the United States or around the world. How do we get the data from the doctor back to the hospital, from the provider back to the payer or the insurance company, and ultimately back from the patient?
We're going to take a quick break here, Greg. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Affordable Health Care Act and health plans and how IT can, you know, reform some of these very complicated processes. Let's not forget there's, 400,000 people at the VA. I mean, That's just a huge number. It's a huge, big organization just in and of itself. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Greg Wappel, Vice President Business Development for ADEPT USA, ADEPTUSASI.com. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Greg Wappel. He's the Vice President of Business Development for a company called ADEPT, ADEPTUSA. Boy, I want to put an A in there the worst way, but it's ADEPTUSASI.com, talking about healthcare IT. I guess this is one topic that's going to affect every single listener, every single person who listens to this when there's snow on the ground. I mean, you can't escape going to the doctor. Sooner or later, you're going to cut your hand in the kitchen or, you know, playing the pickup game and hurt your knee and got to go to the doctor. And when you read headlines like U.S. spending on healthcare to rise more than 50% by 2020, you got to scratch your head and say, well, I don't know, maybe there's a more efficient way than handling paper. And well, guest in the studio today is Greg Wappel talking about healthcare IT. There is an event coming up in October. Local HIMSS Group, the Healthcare Informatics Group, is going to sponsor an event on the 11th of October. Going to get in a couple people from the VA and talk about some of the challenges they had with processing claims and how they overcame some of those challenges. They're going to talk about reducing corruption and reducing all kinds of fraud involved in medical claims. Greg, could you give us maybe some examples of how healthcare informatics has worked with agencies to reduce costs or maybe trying to break through some of the fraud?
Well, a couple things come to mind. How do you drive that big data picture and pull the informatics out of or make that large stack of data, bits and bytes, ones and zeros, back into an intelligible type of decision base or knowledge base? And in doing that, I've been involved with projects in the past where it's driven that into a content knowledge base where you can make information off that flat file or that unstructured set of data, because there's so much big data out there in the government. How do we take that and harvest it and make better decisions out of it? But even that data is growing on a daily basis. So how do we continue to monitor that and be proactive instead of reactive and put dashboards in place, put different metrics in place so we know where we're going to in advance, or we can make better intelligent decisions up front, which can save lives, can provide better care, can take that 30% and maybe drive it down as well, or whatever the true number is. And it's getting the right resources and devices and methods into place so that we can drive to that end result.
So in October, you have an event and you'll be moderating the panel there, and there'll be four or five folks. Tell us about the folks on the panel and some of the challenges they have with healthcare IT and maybe some of the technology they've used or some of the best practices. We've done shows on, for example, on agile software development for solving problems, and some organizations have switched to that. What's been your experience? What are the folks at VA been using to resolve some of these issues?
Well, VA is definitely driving towards more and more agile development projects and driving more and more towards the shorter development cycles to minimize the risk. In the realm of claims and fraud, waste, and abuse, I think we've got to drive more of the solutions and understand where the end result is. But also, as we're looking more, one of my thoughts is we're looking more and more towards automation and these information systems that are driving the automated solutions. How do we avoid the fraud and the waste and the abuse? If you, for instance, in the VA, if you take a claim and it's processed, how do we avoid fraudulent claims and fraudulent as an end result? Because as more and more automation comes into play, there's going to be more and more gray space for that to happen.
When I think of automation, I think of electronic health records. I was at an event in Georgetown last week, and Dr. Harry Greenspun said that there's a good chance that electronic health records can be a major component in reducing some of this fraud. Has that been experienced at VA? Have you seen that? Have you seen that work, Greg?
Not firsthand, but if you think about electronic records, it can definitely reduce fraud, though, because if you think from an aspect of you have more data, you can drive the decision base quicker, sooner, but also just knowing that exchange, being able to speed up the process, having the electronic data exchanges in between and having the EDI transactions involved in between as well, to where you can have the answers, but you can also transparently go back and forth from a government agency to a private agency, back through the various gateways back into the government agency and have that transparency, but also be able to take the data and manipulate it back and forth to use it for whatever the business case or the need is.
You know, the VA was surprised at how successful it was with something called the Blue Button Initiative, which is electronic health records. I mean, I can remember a year ago interviewing people and they were saying, well, geez, you know, maybe if we hit a home run and lottery ticket, maybe we'll get 25,000 people and let's run with the Blue Button. And maybe if we get lucky, John, geez, maybe 30,000. The end of August, we see a press release. It hit 1 million people. It's like, well, you know, patients are embracing it. So veterans who are in Afghanistan, they're under 30, they come home, they have problems, they want the electronic health record. So if they're going from Newport News and moving to Kansas, those records come with them. They're not lost. They're not paper records. They're lost. So I think this is gasoline and fire. It's like, yes, 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 they want their health records, and the health records can reduce fraud. So it's just a matter of deploying the solution.
Well, and even having the Blue Button, My Healthy Vet, and the various portals where you can log in to get your information and access your data anytime, anywhere, on a tablet, on any type of device, and have it on the go, or even when you're at a private physician or in the VA facility or a military health facility or at any location. It gives you the ability to take your records and have the transparency to be able to go to multiple locations and use them.
And you can go on and correct. No. That's not Cleveland, Tennessee. It's Cleveland, Ohio. Or who is best? Who you know, an administrative person sitting in an office in Baltimore, how can they know what your last address was? But you sure do. And if you're involved, all of a sudden, you get better care. And I think if you look at medicine, physicians will say the more engaged the patient is, the better service they're going to get. You can't just walk in and just say the doctor knows everything, whatever, I'll take a pill when I walk out. You have to be engaged. And I think the electronic health record engages people, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, because it offers that unilateral communication back and forth between the provider to the patient. And also, if you think about a lot of the men and women coming back and that are in the rural locations across the U.S. too, it provides them the capability to exchange information back and forth to the VA facility or the medical health facility, back to the private physician again, and be able to have that more connectivity where they don't have to possibly be transported 2, 3, 4 hours or whatever the case is one way to a facility and then back again and lose that time out of their daily schedule.
You're absolutely right. If I got 10 Marines in the room here, they could be not only from 10 states, but from maybe, let's say, 6 rural areas of 10 states. And maybe they're not all from New York City. Well, they probably aren't. They're probably from Montana and Alabama, and who knows where they're from. They're from everywhere. And I think this makes so much more sense than if you go back to Montana, your medical record is in the Newport News. Well, how do you get that medical record to the place in Florida where you're moving to? Well, electronic manual, all of a sudden, it makes it so much easier.
And having that portability, but I think as time goes on, too, it's going to drive more and more the big data picture where we'll be able to make more of the data health informatics and drive out more of the analysis and look for trends, look for fraud, waste, and abuse in the data sets. And even with the fraud, waste, and abuse, if you think about in the sense of what could we do with the data? We could take it, and if you had a certain provider, a certain type of provider that can provide certain types of services and start trending on how many patients could that provider see in a day? And or geotag their location and take a look at, are they a valid business address?
Or I think telemedicine. And telemedicine doesn't mean calling your doctor for an appointment. Suppose you are in a rural part of Minnesota, a rural part of Montana. You can communicate with the physician through electronic record rather than getting in your truck and driving the 3 hours to Helena, where it happens to be. I mean, all of a sudden, you're reducing gas and costs and getting better service. And so if the question is, how do you get better service to veterans? Well, this is one way. Actually, electronic health records is an IT solution for improving care to patients.
Well, John, even take telemedicine a step further. What if you could do your basic vitals and your basic assessments of PTSD, of your health and your weight and your smoking cessation or whatever the case is? There's a lot of devices out there that can remotely monitor that and feed that data back in.
And get better care. Have to take a break. We're talking about healthcare IT and a HIMSS conference coming up, and a little bit about how healthcare IT can reduce the cost of medical care and maybe improve transparency and maybe sharing best practices for physicians. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Greg Wappel. He's a Vice President of Business Development for Adept USA.
FederalNewsRadio.com, your one-stop shop for all things federal. Listen daily to interviews with federal managers and government contractors. Read Mike Causey's daily federal report, or just stop by for an update on the latest news affecting the federal community. FederalNewsRadio.com, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Greg Wappel. He's the Vice President of Business Development for a company called Adept USA. He's also a Marine, because there's no such thing as an ex-Marine, and he's been involved in healthcare IT. Before the break, we were talking about rural healthcare and telemedicine and the value of electronic health records in reducing cost, the value of electronic health records in providing better service. And I think an engaged patient is, you know, an engaged patient is should be a happy patient, should get better service in all kinds of different levels of their healthcare than an unengaged patient. In fact, here's a quote from Todd Park. He's the guy at the White House who's involved in healthcare IT as well. He says that patients are the most underused resource in healthcare. And I think the younger generation, they want to be involved, don't they, Greg? I mean, this is really, we were talking in the break about, what about women coming into hospitals? Tell us a little bit about that. Maybe we can expand on that.
Well, if you think about the engaged patients also is the informed patient too, where they can help drive some of their outcomes of their medical care. And you think about in our current state where we're having more and more women come back that were possibly in reserve units or other units that were activated, and there's going to be more and more need for services for that side as well, for the women coming back. And if they can have more and more information and more choices to their care, it's going to provide better outcomes and better solutions.
And a woman's needs may be different from a man's needs. I mean, they could treat equally, paid equally, but in healthcare situations like certain old-style wards that are set up for men, maybe they're going to have to communicate different requirements. I mean, I have two daughters. I mean, I have three sisters, a wife, and two daughters. I mean, I get it. I understand. I mean, I better understand. They can all beat me in a fight. So I think I understand what's going on with women out there. And they're going to say, no, we're not going to tolerate this. We want some privacy for this. Why? There's certain things that, you know, I think people can understand, you know, can read between the lines. And I think maybe more communication from patients to physicians, more communications electronic, can increase the service that they get. I'll be blogging about this interview at my blog. You can type in Armature Blog, John Gilroy. And I read this blog called The Buzz Blog. It's from the ONC. Is there a blog you read, Greg, or do you have a blog? Or what kind of information can – some of my listeners like to read blogs. What kind of blogs do you read? What blogs do you think they can read to get in more information?
Spend a lot of time through the various LinkedIn aspects with the various blogs and pieces that are linked in there off the hymns and off the various points that are there. And I spend a lot of time disseminating information through LinkedIn as well.
And HIMSS-NCA, it's on LinkedIn. And there are like 800 people who are in the group on LinkedIn, and they share stories and information, and they discuss the panelists, and the two VA panelists are going to come up. Here's a fun fact for your panelists, and they may or may not believe this, but healthcare analytics is predicted to grow by 50% in the next 4 years. I mean, think of that. I mean, that's a huge growth. So what roles should institutions of higher learnings, what roles should the federal government have? What roles should my listeners have? Well, maybe they should attend some HIMSS meetings and put a toe in the water, find out. Maybe their only concern, I have people who just listen to the show and they just care about mobile technology. Okay, how is mobile technology going to affect the VA? What about electronic health records and mobile technology? Can that help my listeners? Can it help physicians? I think there's a lot to be said for healthcare analytics, and we were just talking about a lot of the specifics there, weren't we, Greg?
Well, if you think about healthcare analytics, you think about how the data is being combined with medical guidelines, how it's being provided with patient profiles, as well as revealing other alternatives to care or gaps in care and opportunities for cost savings. Even from a technical side, if you think about informatics just in general, how do we take with so many of the large projects going in government and building these new automated systems and automated ways of doing things? How are we going to manage the out years? We get into these large code bases of software code. How do we go in and look at that proactively and manage when the obsolescence is going to come into that code base as well? Because the obsolescence is a major player, and if all of a sudden you find out you have something built on a historical platform, it's a boat sitting in the water waiting to sink. Where if we can proactively manage that and put it through mobile data, put it through mobile devices, and have solutions that can drive that, we're going to be able to provide better care as well.
I talked about blogs earlier. There is activity on the Twitter sphere, and there's a group called ONC. It's ONC underscore health IT, And there's a tweet that came out last week, and they talked about the Blue Button Initiative. And this tweet says that United Health is offering Blue Button to 30 million members. Well, here's this little concept from the VA. They thought they'd hit a home run with 25,000. It balloons to a million. And this is a private individual, private company that's saying, no, there is value to Blue Button. And I guarantee you, United Health is not doing this out of the goodness of their heart. They're not doing this because I want to help my buddy Greg. They're doing this because it's going to save money. I mean, this is a commercial world. It's a for-profit world. The only reason they even care about Blue Button because it saves money. Originated at the VA.
But why would every company out there and every government agency not want to save money and have their own version of the Blue Button to offer that transparency and a gateway to exchange data through and driving that as a way to provide better outcomes and real-time healthcare analytics?
What kind of capabilities does your company, Adept USA, have in the area of healthcare IT?
We provide a variety of solutions. We have done healthcare analytics work. We are in a variety of markets in the government, and we are looking to expand. We have a variety within the VA as well as other agencies, and we're looking for ways we can bring better services to the government at a better price and providing better care to the patient as an end result.
And I think one advantage you have is that you've been there, done there, got the T-shirt. You are a disabled vet, and you had to go through the system, and I think anyone who's traveled through the system probably has some suggestions that they might want to share with others, or they can sit down with a federal IT professional and say, no, look, here's what happens in a hospital. Bang, bang, bang. You know, it's interesting. I know, I won't name any names here. I know a high-level person who was hired by a very high-level company, and he had to get a physical through this high-level company, and all his medical records were done on paper. And he turned to the doctor and he said, look, this is a technology company and you're promoting electronic health records, but I'm getting hired by you at a very high level and it's all on paper. That's why people are saying, no, there's value to this.
Well, being a Gulf War veteran and spending 20 years having a claim in various stages of through the process, it is a very frustrating process.
So, Greg, you're one of these 850,000 people who are sitting waiting out in the doctor's hall waiting to get paid.
I am a vested member in that.
You should have a LinkedIn group. It's like the 800K group of people who are sitting waiting trying to get their claims processed.
Yes, definitely. And it's very frustrating because you go through the cycles and it just you have to sit and wait and wait and wait and wait.
So if you think about the classic approach would be a paper-based approach, the switch to electronic health records would probably be a way to reduce costs and improve efficiency. We've talked about that before. The one problem, I think, is interoperability. You've got this big monster, the VA, with all their healthcare. You've got this other big monster called HHS with their healthcare. And then, oh, by the way, let's throw in the states in this mix. And so the states are speaking Portuguese, and ONC is speaking French, and the guys at the VA are speaking Mandarin Chinese, and all these different systems have to interoperate. That's another challenge just in and of itself. I'm sure that HIMSS addresses some of these issues, don't they?
Definitely. It's looking how to have that interoperability between the various agencies, because you can add in DOD into that mixture. You can add in even the private health care, private health insurance companies, private providers. And how do you have that common exchange that data transparently and provide that point of care service, but also even a efficient payment processing and on and on and on.
I've had LexisNexis in here, and they have huge databases on looking at fraud and abuse. And these guys are pretty good at catching fraud and abuse. And I would humbly suggest that if I set you in front of 100 file cabinets with paper, may be difficult for you to take and compare paper records and see what's going on. But electronically, companies like LexisNexis, they can use big data and find anomalies and go, oh, look at this. It's WAPL with two P's instead of one P. That's why you didn't get paid. I mean, you would never think of it, would you?
No. And how do you take those filing cabinets and digitize them and make it into that intelligent data point to where you can make the right decisions at the right time and drive to the better solution?
We're going to take a break when we come back, talk more about tweets and Twitter handles, and maybe give a little tech survey to our guest here. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio is Greg Wappel. He's a vice president of business development for a company called Adept USA. You can find them at adeptusasi.com. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Greg Wappel. He's a vice president of business development for a company called Adept USA. You can link into Greg on LinkedIn. It's W-A-P-P-E-L. That's two P's and one L. And you'll find out he's a very popular member of HIMSS, and he's coordinating an event coming up in October. Get more information at HIMSS, HIMSS-NCA.org. Learn about healthcare IT and talk about all kinds of very, very serious issues. But now we're going to talk about light issues. Light issue, here's my Twitter handle. If you want to follow me, my Twitter handle is at Ray Gilray. What about you, Greg? You active in Twitter or do you follow anyone?
I am on Twitter, and I can be reached at GWAPL on Twitter.
Good, good, good. So that's good to know. Well, here's part of the show where I give everyone a survey, and it's a very scientific survey. I ask 10 questions, then I put it through my UNIVAC computer. We find out if you're a card-carrying nerd, because some people listening kind of wondering, is he really a nerd? Is he more a Marine or a nerd? Or what's he got going on here? He's kind of telling both sides of the story here. Maybe he really isn't that technically savvy. First question, what's the year you bought your first computer?
Year about my first computer would have been about 1985.
That's early. That's pretty early.
Commodore 64.
I remember them really well. You're your first cell phone?
It was a bag phone and weighed about 20 pounds, it seemed like.
You're getting points for that. It was like late 70s then?
Mid 80s.
Okay, another 85. And you got a Twitter feed, we know that. Do you have a blog?
I have a blog through LinkedIn as well.
Okay, you can go to LinkedIn, find his blog. And do you use any online personal backup services?
I use a variety. My preferred is probably between Dropbox and Apple's backup service as well.
I always like asking security professionals that question, and they run out of the studio because they're really scared of those questions. What kind of smartphone do you have?
I have a iPhone.
An iPhone, okay. And how many apps are on that bad boy?
Too many to count.
Too many to count? Well, that's getting some points. Do you have a tablet device?
A few.
Okay, so you have a Kindle and an iPad?
Yes.
A bunch of them. I know your son has an iPad. Maybe you can't fight. You have to wrestle with him for that, huh?
Yeah, he likes to do everything from coloring his pictures to checking his latest feeds to everything
something?
In between.
His feeds. Wait a minute. How old is he?
Even down to streaming SpongeBob.
Jeez, wow. And social networking sites you participate in?
Predominantly on LinkedIn and Facebook.
Okay. And here's the big question. The last book you read, was it paper or electronic?
Of course, electronic.
Of course. Not of course. Yeah. You know, my wife's laying in bed at night, and before we go to sleep, she's got her little Nook out going through that. And she isn't of course to that answer as well. That's interesting.
Did the nerds win in Revenge of the Nerds or not is the question.
Well, this will go through my UNIVAC computer in my basement, which is the size of 15 refrigerators, and I'll print it out on a green bar printer, an impact printer. And I will put it in the U.S. mail to you. Yeah. That sounds so ancient, doesn't it?
Does it have the paper trails on the side
yeah,
of it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That really does sound like the Civil War, doesn't it? If I told my kids that, they'd go, Dad, what do you mean green bar? Come on, you know, get
it. Well, that's back in the day when you had to wait 20 minutes to get page.
And people don't realize they put sound enclosures on those printers because they were so loud. Then they'd overheat. And then they would fail. And they'd go... What do you want, the noise or you want it to work? Well, it was a tough decision back in the Civil War when we had impact printers and no one even thought of electronic health records.
I remember taking a typing class in high school and thinking, will I ever have to use this or not?
Yeah, you don't know. Let's get back more to electronic health records and the VA and maybe reducing costs and trying to improve their backlog. Do you think it's a good approach? Or give me two or three ideas of how you think they should maybe try to attack this situation.
Well, one of my ideas I think that would drive it more, I was involved with a sort of a pilot project in one of the medical centers with using my Healthy Vet on tablets and providing patients, veterans, while they're in the hospital, access to the various pieces of the system. And I think driving more and more towards the mobile devices as there's more and more embrace of the mobile universe, as well as even driving towards let's create a veterans or an app store specifically dedicated towards healthcare. Mm-hmm. In the veteran space, there's innovation challenge that's ran every year, but let's drive into that innovation challenge ways we can drive more and more apps and more services to the mobile devices and have it where we anywhere, anytime, any place, we can access the data or information we want.
What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to work with Georgetown University's IT group and combine them with their hospital. And I want the IT guys to go up to the hospital and go, what kind of problems do you have? How can we create an app? What can we do to help you? And then develop a code-a-thon of that. Because I think you get college students, all their creativity and they're not biased and not thinking in one way. They can creatively solve problems that I think maybe, you know, people over 30 maybe even can't solve because they just don't think digitally at all. And I think a lot of people in college now, they just assume a digital solution.
Yeah, you think about how banking is transposed, how 10, 15 years ago, you had to go to the bank branch to do a deposit and to do your banking transactions. Well, where do we take those next steps at in the future? How do we go to the next level in healthcare? How do we get a mobile device that can monitor our body and our biometrics as we're going about our day and report that back and monitor for issues?
I think one aspect of healthcare informatics is going to be this idea of transparency, where people can find out what things cost them, what the prices are for certain things, because normally you have a problem and then 2 months later you get the bill and you go, whoa, I didn't know that the hospital was charging me $8,000 for the helicopter.
So is this going to be the next price grabber of the future, or health grabber of the future?
You mean transparency?
Yes.
Transparency is a big push in many areas. I think this may be, you know, I think doctors sharing information, you know, these doctors have pretty serious egos. I know some, and you know, pretty healthy egos there. You know, and do they want to share information? Should they share? Well, best practice is to share information. Well, great. You know, best practices is to drive the speed limit, and some people don't. Yeah. Maybe some doctors don't, but there's a challenge right in there.
But how do you force that the latest and updated information onto that provider too? How do you take those as we talked about previously, the filing cabinets full of paper data? And find out the latest journal data that's out there, the latest diagnostics that are out there, the latest alternative solutions that are out there, and provide that as solutions to the patient and to the doctor provider.
I'm thinking about physicians and the cost of healthcare, and it's really not an IT problem. It's more of a strategic problem, is rewarding doctors for outcomes, not procedures. And that could probably substantially reduce healthcare. But I think you get into the area of physicians and knowledge. And what can somebody like John Gilroy tell Dr. Greg Wappel about surgery? So I'm going to go into you, the doctor, and tell you how to. It's not going to happen. I think this is maybe an emotional, intellectual, emotional issue more than anything. I mean, surgeons really are the big dog on the hill. So how do you evaluate surgeons and tell them, well, here's best practice and here's what you should do? They're a cocky group. Whew.
Well, how do you even know you're getting the best surgeon too? How do you stack that?
How do you evaluate a surgeon? Okay. And what about the VA surgeons? Do they compare with commercial surgeons? And how? What metrics are you going to use? And is HIMSS going to who's going to determine those metrics, AMA or the VA? There we get into issues of it's almost like the issues of healthcare informatics. Well, what standard are you going to use? Well, how are you going to?
Everything else online today, you can go out and look at a review. How do you go out and look at a physician's review?
Incredible. Center for American Progress printed an article last week, and it said that the administrative health costs for the U.S. healthcare system is $361 billion a year. That's just administrative costs. So that's $361 billion a year. And they say that maybe a third of that is wasted. I hear this one-third, 30%. It seems like a lot of this is wasted. I don't know if money's getting kind of tight, you're probably not going to go out to dinner, you know? And if money's kind of tight, people are going to start looking at the cost of healthcare and going, okay, now wait a minute. Now, you don't like electronic healthcare. I don't like electronic healthcare. But guess what? They can reduce costs, so we're going to have to make the move, and 10% is going to get mad. Well, then you're just going to have to be mad.
And $360 billion, that's a large number. We have to drive to better solutions.
So if you are listening to this and the snow is on the ground and you missed the event in October, you can go to the HIMSS site, HIMSS-NCA.org, and find out about their monthly programs. Once a month, they have a program, and they usually pick out some kind of a compelling topic. I think in September, it was individual patients and patients' care. Was that the program in September?
Yes, it was.
And so they'll take a topic like patient care and then get four experts, and you can grab them by the tie at the end of and ask them a question and say, hey, you were wrong about this, buddy. And I love that part of it, because the problem, I think, with many blogs and tweets and interacting electronically is you don't get the eyeball-to-eyeball connection and some of the information that's maybe given in an indirect manner.
Yes.
And so HIMSS allows for direct and indirect communication. How's that for a discrete statement?
Can't get much closer than that.
Yeah, I've seen physicians at healthcare meetings, at healthcare HIMSS meetings, kind of roll their eyes back, and the whole audience knew exactly what he said. But if you're transcribing it, how could you transcribe? He was frustrated with X, Y, or Z. So it's kind of fascinating. 30 seconds left. Crystal ball, 5 years from now, all those 800,000 claims going to be reduced? What do you predict?
Claims will be reduced, but we have to keep the human in the process. We have to have more blinking lights, I'm sure, but also mobile data, big data, security data, and driving to better solutions for the patient.
Better solutions for the patient. That's what I want to close on. Forget about those doctors. Let's focus on better solutions for the patients. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest today, Greg Wappel, Vice President of Business Development at a company called Adept USA. Thank you, Greg.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.